Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, welcome on in. Final out. Jack Fritz hanging out with you, reacting to a sweep. Sweep down in Tampa Bay. I mean, well, raise some scrubs. I mean, what is that baseball team? That team has the most wins in the AL. I mean, what a joke the American League is. Are you kidding me? Phils go down there, take care of business. It's a beautiful night. I don't care how humid it is outside. Still not hotter than the Phils on the road. I mean, 12 straight. If they win tomorrow, they tie the 1976 Phillies for the most road wins. Or consecutive road wins by the team. So just an unbelievable run right now. And what they did tonight was ridiculous. And the way that they are going about their business right now is really, really impressive. 215-592-9494. Before we get into anything, I've got to put out the bat signal. Where's Ron? Where's Ron? It's time to hold ourselves accountable. Kyle Schwarber comes up big late. Come on, Ron. It's time to come in. 215-592-9494 to get in and react to the Phils sweeping down in Tampa after a tough loss or tough weekend, losing 2 or 3 of the Nats. Felt like a blip in the radar. Wasn't a cause for concern for me. And they go down and they validate that by taking care of the Rays. For the first time, they get swept at home. They entered into the series with the most wins in baseball. They exited it not having the most wins in baseball. What a run by the Phillies. Let's get to the biggest takeaway of the game. Brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. The biggest takeaway for me tonight was that they have that look again. They have the look of, we're here, we're good, and it's time to stack wins. There's a lot of things that happened tonight that had me feeling that way. And frankly, a lot that happened in the series. A lot that happened throughout these three games where I'm like starting to see it. And how they won tonight and sticking in that game and coming through late and being the team that stole a game from a Rays team, which I feel like steals that game from opposing teams all the time. They did that to the Rays. That doesn't usually happen. And they just have that look. Whether it's the starters, it feels like one is trying to up the other. which is what great rotations do. Chris Sanchez was brilliant tonight. The bullpen feels like, I mean, I obviously we haven't felt this way since 2008, but it's been 15 years since it feels like we can trust the bullpen the way that we trust this Phillies bullpen. The offense, I know they struck out a ton tonight. That's going to happen against a Rays rotation, even though it was a bullpen game where they have the kind of stuff that those guys have. Teams are going to strike out. It's what Rays do to even great offenses. But what they did late and Kyle Schwarber giving them the lead, and then they tacked on. They didn't just stay there with it being 2-1. They made it a 3-1 game. And I know it's minor, and I know that people can think it's a small thing, but guys on the bench being into the game, I'm telling you, that's what winning baseball, that is part of a winning baseball culture. And I loved when Schwarber got the hit, the thing that stuck out was how quick Josh Harrison, a bench player, he actually played a lot last week, but regardless, a bench player, first guy up on the top railing. He isn't playing tonight. He knows he's not getting this game. He hasn't played all series. First guy up on the top of the bench saying, hey, that's a big spot by Schwarbs. I love that stuff, and I think that's winning culture, and I think you're starting to see this team develop into having that look. They're having that look of we're good, we're here, and it's time to go, and thank God. And frankly, like, just could not be more proud of this team. It's been a while. There's been times this year where I felt like we could say that, but truthfully, going down to Tampa, doing what they did tonight, like, it feels like the season, like, really jump starts now. You can't tell me that if you've been someone that's doubted this team all year, that you watch this team down in Tampa and what they just did in a 3-game series down there and not believe in them again and not say, okay, bleep it, let's go have a summer. And what was so frustrating about the beginning of the season was it felt like they were wasting away that opportunity. But they've got this city back. They have the city back in the palm of their hands. I can just feel it. I can feel it on WIP. I can feel it on social media. I can feel it in that clubhouse. They're like, we're back, we're rolling, and we're going to go down to Miami, and we're gonna avenge that demon too. And when the deadline gets here, if I know Dave Dombrowski, like I think I know Dave Dombrowski, he's going to go out, and we're going to see a patented Dave Dombrowski kind of deadline. And it's go time. I don't care about the Braves. The Braves are on another level. The Phils are coming. They're playing good baseball. 215-592-9494. That was my big takeaway from the game, which is brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury firm. They've got the look. My second big takeaway from tonight, and really it's been something that it has been going on for a good stretch here, but I feel like this guy hasn't gotten enough credit and for what this team is doing and what this portion in specific of the team is doing. And that's why he's my player of the game, even though he's my coach of the game, which is brought to you by South Jersey Gas, committed to providing safe, reliable, affordable natural gas. Make the switch at southjerseygas.com/lovemyhome. And that is Caleb Cotham. What Caleb Cotham is doing for this pitching staff is he is becoming a difference maker. And we talk about what the Dodgers do developing pitchers. We talk about what the Rays do developing pitchers. We talk about mostly what the Yankees do with developing pitchers. Astros do with developing pitchers. It's time to put the Phillies in that conversation. They are a factory right now when it comes to developing pitchers, getting the most out of guys that have failed elsewhere. They are turning into a factory when it comes to developing pitchers and getting the most out of them. And that's Caleb Cotham. That's Brian Kaplan. That is the pitching side of this whole thing. Look at what they've done for Chris Sanchez. I have no stress walking into Chris Sanchez starts. It's like you could have told me Chris Sanchez was going to go out there and throw 6 innings of 1-run ball against the Rays tonight. And by the way, in less than 75 pitches, like probably could have kept going. And I would have said, yeah, sounds about right. Like, that's how much confidence I have in Chris Sanchez. And a lot of that has to do with the job of Caleb Cotham. And it's really just a simple fix. He stopped walking people. And he stopped walking people because Coughlin was like, hey, buddy, your stuff plays. Just throw it down the middle and see what happens. And guess what? He's been great. He's been great. They don't need to go get a fifth starter. We don't need to do this thing anymore. Like, it's time to go at another impact bat. The starter thing is dead, and especially because Painter's able to get back on the mound. Chris Sanchez has been everything you could have ever asked for and more from a fifth starter at this point. Junior Marte, who people wanted sent down 2 weeks ago, and I was with him. I wanted Bilotti back up here and in that spot. I mean, it was a stress-free seventh tonight against the Rays. It's a 1-1 game on the road. Junior Marte is just like, yeah, I got it. Don't worry. He's throwing 100. He's throwing with conviction. The slider, they have him throwing harder. That's coaching. Craig Kimbrel. This is the best Kimbrel's looked since, I don't know, 18? Like, this is – Craig Kimbrel, first off, he has totally found the strike zone. He is, even if it's 95, 96, he has that little rise to the fastball. He's getting his curveball over for a strike. I mean, they're getting a rejuvenated Craig Kimbrel season. Like, this is 2013 Craig Kimbrel. I mean, it's insane. And then finally, and the biggest one tonight is Matt Strom. I mean, Matt Strom, they did something that went under the radar, and I thought it was brilliant, is they essentially gave Matt Strom a week off, maybe, 2 weeks ago? They were just, hey, like, we're going to limit your innings. We're not going to use you this week, and we'll go from there. And he's come back. That life is back on his fastball. His competitiveness is back, and he looks a lot like the guy that got – they had starting games earlier in the year. They're now getting that in the back of the bullpen. Coaching makes a difference, especially when it comes to the pitching staff. And what Caleb Coughlin is doing right now needs to be appreciated more. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. Mike is in Westchester. What's happening, Mike?
What's going on, Fritz?
Big night.
What a series win. I mean, I was thinking about it, just about the best regular season series win since I thought back to that sweep of the Mets in 2021 when Wheeler almost threw a no-hitter that game. I mean, what a night.
Well, hopefully what happens in Miami is not what happens after the complete game on Doc Day. But yeah, it was massive. It really was. And I think that the most important thing that happened in this series is that for the people that jumped off and weren't paying attention and were like, yeah, wake me up if they get back into this thing. I don't know how you're not back in after you saw what they go and do down in Tampa and now have a sole possession of third place in the wild card.
Absolutely. And you took the point kind of right out of my mouth. I was going to give a shout out to Caleb Coughlin. But specifically, I mean, Craig Kimbrel.
Yeah.
He has looked just about as good as he looked at any point in his career. I mean, it's in Tampa against the best offense in the American League, bottom of the ninth, 1-1 ball game. I'm already scouting out who we're going to face in the 10th. I'm that confident in him. I mean, it's incredible because I was in the same boat as you beginning of the season. I was like, this is kind of a classic Dombrowski signing. He's probably at the back end. Maybe he'll give us a couple good, like, 7th and 8th innings. He is nailed in the 9th inning, and I got to give him such a big shout-out. What a win, all-around team win. Go Phils. Thanks for taking my call, Fritz.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Mike. And I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was so not a Kimbrel guy. You know, he was left off the Dodgers playoff roster last year, and it felt like Dave Dombrowski, like, this guy's pitched a ton of games. He has back end experience. Let's go get him. And I mean, they'd done this with Chase Anderson and Matt Moore a couple years ago. They did it last year with Jerry's Familia. And it was like, that's they gave Dave his one veteran signing that he can go get. He's been brilliant, and I think Dave was right. And he bet on Craig and, using last year as motivation to get back to being Craig freaking Kimbrel, a guy who is on his way to possibly being in the Hall of Fame as a closer. And, obviously credit to Craig, but I just – you can't tell me and you can't convince me that this coaching staff doesn't have a ton to do with it. We haven't seen Craig Kimbrel look this good in a while. And a lot of it comes down to what Caleb Coughlin has done. 215-592-9494 is how you get in and react. Big night, big series win. We're celebrating here on The Final Out. Welcome back. Take all of your phone calls, all of your reaction. Coming up next here on The Final Out.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
One ball, one strike. He's set at the belt. The pitch to Schwarber. Swing at a ground ball through the right side. A base hit. Coming around third, Sosa. He's going to score. Stubbs will stop at second. And Kyle Schwarber with a base hit to right has put the Phillies on top 2-1.
Never doubted Kyle Schwarber in that spot for a second. I said, you know what? He's going to hit a nice little single through the right side. He's not going to strike out. And he did. Kyle Schwarber came up big, extra innings in that spot, and he needed it. I mean, listen, I'm a Kyle Schwarber fan. I'm still waiting. Would like to know where Ronimanco is. You know, we're coming out of hiding tonight. You know, I'm a Schwarber fan. I think the guy's a winner. He hits a ton of home runs. He's fourth in the league in walks. I don't think is the biggest problem with the lineup so far. And I think people get too caught up in batting average. But even I, like 185 is not like the most fun thing to watch. So it was good to see him get a couple hits tonight. And that's a big spot late. And hopefully it's a big exhale kind of moment for him. But either way, that is our Mike's Amazing Play of the Game, presented by Mike's Amazing, the official mayo, mustard, and vegetable oil of the Phillies. So a big hit there by Schwarbs late in the game. Again, another two-out hit. I didn't think that was something that they were into. But regardless, they come out on top. They sweep the Rays in Tampa Bay. The Rays' first home sweep of the year. Tucker, what was the stat that you had? I saw you tweet out that the Rays in their last 102 home series have only been swept three times at home.
Yeah, dating back to the beginning of the 2019 season. They've had 102 series at Tropicana Field. They've been swept three times, four times now after tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they have been a ridiculous home team for the last couple of years. And it's been something where, you know, I've seen the other teams. I know the Phillies obviously don't go down there very often, but I feel like I see the Yankees go down there and they struggle. I see the Red Sox. I see the Blue Jays. I see the, like, teams go into Tampa, and it just does not turn out like well for them, it seems like. And like the Phillies being able to go down there, like, we just haven't seen, especially this team. Like, obviously we saw it 07-11, like we saw those guys be able to go down there and do it, but these guys, you know, the 12 straight road wins for these guys, a team that like has traditionally struggled on the road, and winning at home is fun. But to me, the sign of a truly good team is being able to go and take care of business on the road too. I mean, most teams win a lot at home. That's not that impressive. I've seen the Phillies do that with this core of guys for the last couple of years. But this is different. This is going to Chicago and sweeping out there. This is taking 3 of 4 in Arizona. This is going to a dead ballpark in Oakland and taking 3. This is going down and, I mean, essentially playing in front of your home crowd down in Tampa, which, again, shout out to the Phillies fans. You want to talk about feeling like the heyday. Seeing our fans take over opposing ballparks and, I mean, have it the most filled up, it feels like it's been in forever. That's cool. And it's been a while since we've been able to see stuff like that. And I think that's the biggest sign that they're back in the good graces of the city. And they're going to go to Miami this weekend. It's obviously going to be a test. Thank God they lost tonight. But maybe that's not the best thing in the world. I really can't wait to see what the second half and the crowds are going to be like at CBP, because this is one of those series that I think you can point to where it kind of kills the naysayers that say, well, they've just been beating up on cupcakes. Well, in the last month, they've taken 3 of 4 from the Diamondbacks. They took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. They took 2 of 3 from the Mets, who, I mean, they're kind of heating up right now, which is annoying. And then they went out and they swept the Rays. They lost a home series to the Nats. Whatever. That happens. You're going to lose baseball games. But these are the kind of series wins and sweeps that I think just has the general Phillies fan being like, all right, listen, they can be frustrating. They can cause me to go mad sometimes, but this is a good team and they're here. And I can't wait to get back to Citizens Bank Park and see what that ballpark's going to be like. Ben is in Marlton. What's happening, Ben?
Yo, Fritzy, what's going on, brother?
Ah, oh, big stuff, Ben. Big stuff.
Dude, It's unbelievable.
I know. Like, well, listen, first time since 1976 that they've won 12 straight road games.
It's unbelievable. Honestly, I've been, watching every day, but to see this, to see them go into Tampa Bay, and I every single game I'm like, yeah, they're probably going to lose this one. Today, Christopher Sanchez going out there, probably going to lose this one. But no, Christopher Sanchez goes out there and just shoves. Like, what is this?
I know. And
it's unbelievable.
And the funny part, Ben, and I wonder if you feel this too, like, I mean, I know you thought they were going to lose the game, whatever, but at the same time, I wasn't that shocked watching Sanchez do that. Like, he's kind of just gone out there and done his thing, and I wasn't that nervous he was going to go out there and get totally shelled, and I think that's a real big testament both to him, obviously, but also to this coaching staff.
Yeah, but it also sometimes does feel like he'll go out there, the last, like, what is he, 2.84 ERA or his last five?
Something like that.
But it feels like every time he goes out there, he loses because it's either, A, the offense is going to, not come through, or B, it's just going to be a really low-scoring game that they end up losing. But honestly, it's just an unbelievable thing to watch it all come together. And then Strom going out there, him being who he can, like just a pocket knife doing any type of innings he can, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, Ben, and I appreciate the call. And I know the offense wasn't great tonight, but at the same time, sometimes we got to chalk it up to the Rays and their pitching too. I mean, the Rays have traditionally been great at developing pitchers. I mean, that's kind of been their calling card the last couple of years. So Phil struck out a lot tonight, but they also came up big late. The biggest takeaway from tonight is just how insanely good this Phillies pitching staff is, from the starters to the bullpen. I mean, again, 08 was a ridiculous bullpen. When was the last time we've had a bullpen with this many guys that come in and do their jobs and develop the guys too? I mean, Jeff Hoffman last night comes in, bang. Ninth inning, road game in Tampa. I know it was 8-4. It wasn't a save situation. No stress. Junior Marte tonight. Again, tie game, seventh inning, on the road, in Tampa Bay. Calm, cool, collected, gets the job done. Matt Strom's never looked this good before. I mean, Matt Strom's had moments. He's always had stuff. But now he's a guy. They're developing guys. And the nice part is, listen, I love Sir Anthony. You noticed him at the beginning when he got hurt, but it's like they've survived the Sir Anthony injury. And to make matters that much more exciting is that I still think they have guys in Bilotti and Brogdon that could come up if they have more injuries, and they likely will do a job. I mean, it's depth on depth on depth, and that's exciting. Matt is in Missouri. What's happening, Matt?
Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm beyond excited, man. I've got a couple points. First is, you got the whole thing working with what Dombrowski brought to the table. He killed it in the offseason, getting these guys for Cotham and Topper to develop. Beyond that, I think it's important to realize that you got Topper. Just look at what we got going on. We got Wheeler, Suarez, and then Nola coming to close this out. And then Nola's going to get a big break before he ever has to pitch again.
I know.
Which, to me, brings another question. The whole thing of Painter coming up. We know that this entire staff does better when they get a long rest. We know that if you give any of these guys a six-day, any of these guys in a six-day rotation, they're going to be beasts. So why not keep Sanchez in there? Bring Painter up. Go on a six-day rotation. And now all of a sudden, you can break things down at the end where you go back to, assuming
that you make it to the off-season, mm-hmm. or rather to the post-season,
yeah.
right? That you can sit there and go to a five-man rotation and put the best or put the lesser of Painter and Sanchez into the pen, making the pen that much better.
I know.
I'm totally beyond excited.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt. And I appreciate the call. And that was something I was going to bring up in the next segment, but it's starting to all come together. What we kind of thought that they could have done at the beginning of the year before Andrew Painter got hurt. You know, Andrew Painter, I was throwing out the idea of go six man, make sure that you stretch out Wheeler and Nola, don't have to overwork them and make sure they're good for the stretch run. Didn't happen. Everyone got banged up. They had to go bullpen games. By the way, isn't that freaking insane that they were doing bullpen games instead of Sanchez? Especially given what we've seen him do. Like, it went on for, I felt like, 2 weeks too long where Sanchez was just up in AAA. Now, maybe he had to develop. Maybe he had to figure out how to throw strikes and whatnot. But, man, when you're talking about a playoff race as tight as this, they essentially gave games away where Sanchez could have been starting those games. But, yeah, the idea of a six-man, getting these guys to be operating on and firing on all cylinders heading into the stretch run is going to become imperative. Hopefully they can continue to stack series wins and continue to, make sure that they are obviously in position, like not blowing a chance to make the playoffs. But all things considered, if they can do that and secure the spot and get into a comfortable position, going six man makes a lot of sense. And it's something that they got to explore. Now, the key is, can Andrew Painter get on the mound? He threw a bullpen yesterday. We'll see how he reacts to it, and hopefully he can get on the mound and get back up here as soon as possible. Because, frankly, I can't wait to see him. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. We will roll through all of your phone calls on the other side, but also we will look ahead to this weekend down in Miami. Miami loses tonight before handing things off to Rob Cherry. It's the final out here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. It is the final out, sponsored by Regency Furniture. Affordable never looked so good. So we'll go back to the phones here in 1 second and look ahead to this series in Miami. It's funny. They did the exact same thing last year. They went down to Miami heading into the All-Star break. They took 2 of 3, and we were like, all right, they might be real. And then they came out of the All-Star break and got swept by the Cubs at home. So let's hope that doesn't happen. But either way, if you want to come watch the All-Star game, If you need a place to watch it, Time Out on Pine coming up on Tuesday night. Seltzer and I will be there along with Tommy Green. We're having a little all-star watch party presented by Miller Lite, $3 Miller Lite bottles and draft specials. We have some Phillies tickets that you can register to win. And again, Tommy Green, Seltzer, myself, we'll be watching the all-star our game, hopefully, you know, coming off of at least 2 of 3 in Miami, riding high, feeling great. Plus, I mean, drafts on Sunday, which can't wait for. First 2 rounds of the draft, Phil's pick 27, and it's pretty much consumed my mind for the last 2 weeks. So very, very exciting for that. So, yeah, come hang out. Seltzer and I and Tommy Green out at Time Out on Pine. It's Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. And, again, you know, heading down to Miami this weekend, it's been a place where I know the whole thing has been like, well, they never win in Miami. Miami's good, man. This is not – the Marlins teams of the last couple years where it's like really you're going down and you're laying an egg against a team that can't hit. And, yeah, the pitching's good, but they're like 14 games under 500. You know, we don't have to do this. Like, I mean, there's been so many just brutal losses in Miami. 19-11 obviously comes to mind. Starling Marte hit a double off the wall against Brandon Workman a couple of years ago that will always stick out to me. I was so mad. think of the bullpens that we have had to suffer through in order to get this bullpen we have now. I mean, Heath Hembree, Brandon Workman, Jared Hughes, Mike Morin, Blake Parker. I know Hobie Milner's had an ISO run, but Hobie Milner. It's just all that dreck and the worst bullpen in the history of baseball to finally have this. Again, it's like it's almost like watching them. It's a shock to the system. It's like, what is this? What is this feeling with the bullpen? Because we're so taught to be like, okay, how are they going to blow it tonight? How's the bullpen going to do this tonight? And there's part of me when I saw Dylan Covey warming up in the, what was it, the 11th? I was like, are you serious, Rob? Like, listen, you've been on a little bit of a hot streak with your bullpen. Like, let's not test fate here. But they didn't. And Matt Strom went out for the second inning and got the job done. So, great stuff. Mike's in Tampa leaving the game. What's happening, Mike?
Yeah, we're just driving home from the game. It was great atmosphere, a lot of Phillies fans, a lot of Eagles fans there. It really felt like a playoff atmosphere, but a home game. There was one Rays fan that was kind of drunk, and he was up in the front row, and all the Eagles or Phillies fans were yelling at him. It was really a home field advantage. And then on the way out, you know, fly Eagles fly and just yelling.
Well, we don't need fly Eagles fly. I mean, you know, it's the Phillies have won 12 straight road games. You know, can we wait for Eagles season there, Mike?
Well, I think they're feeding off each other. I think, but yeah, it's good baseball. I was like, when are we going to get Stubbs out of there and get Realmuto and at bat? But Stubbs took one for the team and scored a run, and so you need the fringe players really. Good tonight.
Now, what's your review of the Trop? Is it as bad as people say it is?
Because you're in air conditioning, it's just pleasant. It's pleasant to watch a game there. But their fans, you know, kind of sit on their hands. It was the Phillies fans just took over the stadium.
That's what we do, Mike, and I appreciate the call. And, you know, do we need the Eagle stuff? I mean, listen, I won't get into it. But come on, you know, the Phils are hot. I know we have a little good football team, but Phils are hot. Yeah, we don't need to worry about the Eagles right now. Regardless, yeah, and not that the atmosphere, I think, totally felt like a playoff game, but the at-bat to Wander Franco with Jose Alvarado was like the most into a regular season at-bat I think I've been in a while. It was a big situation, tie game, late. 10 pitch at bat, keeps fouling off 99, and Alvarado eventually got him. But I let out a pretty embarrassing fist pump for a July game with the Jose Alvarado getting out Wander Franco in that situation. Speaking of Stubbs staying in there, I thought the one thing, if I was Rob Thompson, that I felt like it was a mistake tonight was, and maybe they just wanted to get JT a full off day. But with Derek Hall in that situation in extra innings against a tough lefty, just would have liked to have seen JT in that spot. He ended up pinch running Edmundo Sosa the next inning anyway. So he clearly, I mean, that felt like a mistake there. Just JT or Edmundo or some kind of righty in there, maybe even Pache. And then if you're going to pinch run him anyway, you can get one of those guys over to first base. It felt like a bit of a mistake, but regardless, they won, and we don't need to bring it up. Andrew wants to talk some Phils. What's happening, Andrew?
What's going on, man? Hey, who is that guy, last guy that called? Mike?
Mike, yeah.
Yeah, Mike, give it to him. Give him the Eagles. Give him the Phillies. Give him the Flyers. Give him the Sixers. The Tampa Bay fan base is not a real fan base.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, Flyers, though, maybe in a couple years. We'll see what Jonesy's cooking up for them.
Yeah, especially not with the Lightning. Exactly. You know, because, okay, you maybe leave the Flyers out of that one. But, yeah, man, good win for the Phils. I mean, the fact that you said, what, this is only the third time it's happened in, like, 105 games at the Trop or something.
102 series at the Trop.
Yeah.
The third time in 102 series, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's legit. And, again, Tampa, you know, they're leading the best division in the AL, the AL East. And it's crazy that division, everybody has a winning record, and there's only, what, one team in the AL Central that has a winning record. Like, that's some crazy disparagement. That's what the the changing of the way the schedule is doing now. You know, you don't play the same teams 19 times a year. You play them, what, like 14 or 15 times a year? So it spreads the wins and losses out. But I didn't think it was going to do it like that.
Yeah, the Central's been brutal. Both Centrals, actually. Like, both of them are just like, you know, heading into that Cubs series, the Cubs had better playoff odds than the Phillies, and the Cubs were like three games under 500. Both Centrals have been brutal. But the AL East has been the toughest division in baseball, it seems like, for a little bit here. And I've seen so many teams go and play terrible at the drop. And to see the Phils do that, it's something they haven't done. And they haven't looked this competent on the road since the heyday. And it even goes back to last year. I mean, during the World Series run, obviously it was different. You know, they had that look. But I felt like tonight they had the same look that they had in the postseason last year.
Yeah, and while we're talking about the East, the Marlins are more legit, I think, than they've been in the last, as long as I can remember. But the Marlins have always given the Phillies trouble. When the Marlins were a team that was winning, you know, 72 games a year and couldn't hit and couldn't pitch, they were still beating the Phillies seemingly for no reason. And now, you know, you have this team that actually knows how to play baseball. And, you know, like you said, this was the series, this Florida trip between Tampa and Miami, where it's really time to, you know, butter your bread, especially right before the All-Star break against a good Marlins team. Like, they're actually good.
Totally, Andrew, and I appreciate the call. Obviously, they have Luis Arraez, who he's cooled off, but still is batting, I believe, .388. But, you know, he's cooled off a little bit, but still, I mean, he crushed the Phillies in the first, the first time they played this year. Gene's starting to heat up a little bit down there. They just always have, especially with the big ballpark they have, they essentially didn't really go for like the traditional power hitters that a lot of teams are going for now, and went more like contact guys. So like Joey Wendell, Segura, Arraez, Yuli Gurriel. So I mean, they're a pesky, tough little ball club, and the Phillies are gonna have their work cut out for them. They have to be on their toes at all times against the Marlins, especially on offense. Like it's not a series where sloppiness is going to be rewarded, because it feels like the Marlins will take advantage of that. So, again, another test, but the way they're playing right now, I don't think we need to do the whole, like, oh, they're going to go down and get swept in the Marlins thing. Just trust this team. I think they've earned that. Tomorrow night, Zach Wheeler going up against Sandy Alcantara. I know last year this would be viewed as, like, two of the best pitchers in the NL facing off in a Friday night series right before the All-Star break. Alcantara just hasn't been himself this year, and it's been all year. His ERA is in the high fours. He had a 4.93 ERA in June, four earned in five innings against the Braves the last time out, not striking out a ton of guys. So he's just kind of fallen off the cliff. I mean, he's still throwing pretty hard, but it's just not working this year. So Zach Wheeler, last couple starts just hasn't looked as crisp, but like I've said a couple times, even when Zach Wheeler hasn't been peak Zach Wheeler in this last little stretch, he's still been pretty good. And I think that's the best sign for Zach Wheeler, is that his down starts haven't been terrible. They've just been not as great as they usually are. So I feel pretty good about Wheeler heading into Miami tomorrow night. Sandy Alcantara versus Wheeler. Marks and Reese, Ike's off tomorrow. John and John Johnson will lead you into the game. I will have you for post-game, of course, Ranger Suarez versus Braxton Garrett on Saturday, and then Nola versus Jesus Luzardo on Sunday. So Jesus Luzardo has been on a really, really good run recently. He's got himself right back into the NL Cy Young contention. So they have their work cut out for him against Garrett and Luzardo. Obviously, Alcantara, just respect because he won the NL Cy Young last year. But regardless, it's going to be a tough series. It's going to be a competitive series, and frankly, one that I'm looking forward to see how our boys go down there and perform. That's going to do it for me tonight. Again, tomorrow we'll lead you into the game, and then I got you for post-game reacting to Alcantara versus Wheeler. Looking forward to it all. Rob Cherry's got you next. He'll take you through the rest of the night. Tucker Bagley produced the final out tonight. All that's coming up next here on WIP.